Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Welcome everyone, welcome to the heart of the holy name. It is my great pleasure to give these monthly lessons and also workshops for practicing a more absorbed chanting. For those who join us today for the first time, this is a monthly service done by the Sharanagati Ashram here at the banks of the lake. We all have seen that the chanting of the holy names of Krishna is in this age of Kali the most powerful means to elevate the soul, purify its consciousness, and bring it into contact with Krishna. And in order to facilitate a deeper practice, we are going through the guidebooks on chanting, the Harinam Chintamani and its sequel, the Bhajan Rahasya. Last Sunday, say another thing. It is always in the last Sunday of the month. starting at 10 o'clock. Yes, we have changed the time to 10 o'clock. And in this way, it will last 1.5 hours and be quite concentrated. Good. Please allow me to immediately go into the subject of today. Yes. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya De Satarine. We do this always to invoke the blessings. We go to a pure soul. We remember his teachings and example, and in this way, pray in a way for empowerment. This subject of receiving empowerment for our chanting will be the main focus of this particular session. See, when you engage in any spiritual process, the question of adhikar or qualification is immediately raised. Are you qualified really to enter the deeper areas of the practice? And what qualification should you bring to become qualified? This deep subject is addressed by Haridas Thakur. He says, when you give charity, there are many rules and regulations that make the process successful. The right recipient of charity, the right place, the good time. When you perform yagyas or sacrifices, again, so many rules and regulations are required. How will you set up the yagya? What are the ingredients? What astrological configurations need to be considered? Quite complex. When you perform ritual bathes or you chant other mantras, again, many rules and regulations are necessary so that you are successful. However, when you chant the Lord's holy name, there's only one qualification that is required. Nothing else. But it means also, if this qualification is not there, you will most probably not come very far in your practice. What then is the qualification for good absorbed chanting? Let me quote Haridas Thakur. In chanting Lord Krishna's holy names, however, Shraddha or faith alone makes one qualified to chant. The idea of Shraddha, of faith, is really important. And what should be the faith like? What should it be where we should be faithful to? Listen, very important, because it is this little secret that will be the key that opens the door for you. Haridas Thakur says, what is the subject of Shraddha? He says, this comes in the second chapter of Harinam Chintamani, Lord Krishna attracts everyone in all the worlds. Some you may say, I'm not really attracted to Krishna. Well, see it like this, that those who are developed and they know about God in His many forms, they feel very attracted. But even those who are not yet so developed in their awareness and may not even be clear that there is a Lord, they will speak a lot about this subject. The famous atheists debate a lot about this subject. So in a direct way or in an indirect way, it's a subject and everyone is attracted. So Lord Krishna attracts everyone in all the worlds. The great treasure, he continues, that is Lord Krishna's name, also has that same quality eternally. Yes, someone who comes in contact with Krishna's name, he will start to become attracted. And then he makes the point which may require your faith. Lord Krishna is never different from his form. His name and the form are the same. They are not different. They may only be in different places. Krishna's form as the divine God of love, the embodiment of rasa or affectionate relationships, is one thing. He is eternally enacting his pastimes in the spiritual world. But Krishna's holy name is also Krishna, but he is also there enacting his pastimes in the material world. The same thing, the same person at different places. Haridas Thakur expresses it like this. Lord Krishna's name and form are non-different. They are Lord Krishna himself dancing in different dancing places. Krishna in his pastimes is dancing in Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna in his name dances on the tongue of all those who chant his holy name. But they are the same. They are not at all different. And this is the basic Shraddha of faith which is required to come to the perfection of chanting. Even if you may not have this faith in a very deeply realized way, you should, when you sit down to chant, understand, I'm now entering the presence of the beloved Lord. And that faith, that enthusiastic resolve, that inner orientation will bring you very, very far in your chanting. It will lead you to put for a moment everything else aside and just chant and be in the presence of the Lord. I remember yesterday I went with some nice people into the nature and we sat in the reeds. We had desired to make a little chanting session. And I told them, let us now chant the holy name And let us enter the presence of the Lord, because the name is not different from Krishna. And because we were in nature and there was absolutely no disturbance, it was easy to focus. And I remember as we chanted, all of a sudden a very, very good and strong breeze came through the forest, and then the reeds where we were sitting near the bank of another lake, and we felt Krishna had responded. He had said, yes, I'm here. I'm shaking the leaves now, and I will make your hearts tremble in ecstasy. I felt this was there, and everyone was really touched by what we considered a little sign that I am here. So this initial faith that when I chant, I'm in the presence of the Lord, will guide you in many, many ways. You will be careful to be attentive. You will give it the amount of focus that is necessary. But you should invest that type of faith. Now we all know, this is not the most easiest thing in the world, to have the faith that Krishna and his holy name are identical, because we simply don't have an experience of such a phenomena in the world. Names are very different from the substances. If I'm thirsty and I'm calling out for water, 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 my thirst will not be quenched, but I will most probably become more thirsty because I'm reminded of my thirst more and more. So this faith requires a little investment from above. Therefore, when this was discussed between the great role model of chanting, Haridas Thakur, and the avatar, the divine appearance of the Lord who brought the chanting of the holy name to this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when this was discussed, Haridas was very moved. He was weeping, and he fell at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, and he held them, and he begged him, please give me this one gift. Please give me this faith and love for the holy name. So let us now see, why is it so difficult for us to invest this faith that yes, when I'm chanting the names of Krishna, I'm with Krishna. If you understand why this is a difficulty, or what is in between, what, so to say, obstructs your faith to go to that understanding in place, you will actually attain pure chanting of the holy name. Because when you know the obstacle, you can work at removing it. But if you don't know the obstacle that always holds you on a mediocre level of chanting, then you cannot solve it. Lord Chaitanya responds to Haridas Thakur's request to give him the faith and the love and the holy name. He says, listen to my words. There is one thing you need to know. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moves forward and picks Haridas, who lies weeping on the ground, up and puts him into the sitting position. No, you please listen now. Before we attain pure chanting, where Krishna and his holy name are revealing themselves to us, before we can understand Krishna and his name are identical, there's one stage that we need to cross. It's called Namabhasa. It's when you chant the holy name, but you do not yet understand that this is Krishna. Namabhasa is compared with a sun rise just before it manifests. Let me be very clear. In the morning, the sun is rising, but when it has not yet reached the horizon, when it's still, so to say, covered, then there is only a little light that is spreading. You cannot see the sun, but you can see some light in the eastern horizon, which heralds or announces the coming of the sun. So before you reach pure chanting, where you see Krishna's form and qualities being in your tongue and your heart, you will see the rising of the holy name. You will see a little light, but not yet the Krishna's transcendental form proper. Yes, you need to understand what is necessary so that the little light, the little enthusiasm, the little taste which you have turns into full-blown realization. There are clouds before the holy name and mist that is there. It's the mist and the clouds which are in a way keeping you from actually seeing the form of the holy name. I want to tell you what this analogy means. The mist, which is still keeping you from seeing the sun of the holy name, is ignorance. It's first of all the ignorance about your own spiritual nature. You may not understand fully that you are different from your body and also your mental functions, your various thoughts. You may identify with your thoughts and pursue them, pursue your moods, your various desires, your perceptions, and so on. That's ignorance. You are not the body, nor are you your mind. I think many spiritualists are willing to agree, yes, the body is a machine, but the mind, they will be stuck in their minds, in their intelligence, and mostly also their egos. So that keeps you, that ignorance of your spiritual nature, from getting the breakthrough to the spiritual dimension where you can understand how Krishna is there when you chant. Also, the mist of ignorance refers to understanding Krishna, understanding the supreme Godhood or Godhead, and also what it means when you are in ignorance about yourself and ignorance about the Supreme Self, you will not know where to stand in your life. You will most probably feel a strong inclination to take shelter in Maya, in illusion, in the various permit this is a difficult English word, changes of the material energy, you will be in a little compromised position. So three types of ignorance: about the self, about the Supreme Self, and about where to stand, where to take shelter. That is the mist of ignorance that doesn't allow you to see the sun of the Holy Name. And then from this, there are various habits, various dysfunctional behaviors, various inner orientations which are all summarized under the category of anartha, something that appears to be valuable but is not at all valuable. Ignorance is the first anartha, so to say, the first which is taken out, but then comes asat trishna, that is thirst for material things. Then comes hridaya durbalya, a weakness of the heart. Have you ever noticed your intelligence might be inclined to do the right thing, but there is such an inner weakness of the heart that you do not act upon your proper knowledge. And finally, there's aparada, that is an anatta, also the offenses against the Holy Name, against other Vaishnavas, against other living entities, against jiva aparad, Vaishnav aparad, seva aparad, against your service, etc. I do not want to give you the whole dark list on Sunday morning and spoil your day. Let us just summarize. The Holy Name is always there, just like the sun is always there. But for us, who are in our relative, our material position, we are covered very often with ignorance and with faulty habits and faulty understandings, which then hold us tight in our own mental prisons. There's a story in India about a monkey. He was in a room on the top of a tower, and there were fruits, there were nice things to climb in that room. He was well engaged, but one day he thought, oh no, there's this room and I can't get out of the room. And as he began following this negative line of thought, he thought, oh, I'm a prisoner. Oh no, I'm captured alive. And he began throwing himself against the wall of the room and became very, very dejected and disturbed. Then, as he found a little rest, he was exhausted, he looked again out of the windows into the wideness of the nature, and his spirits changed. He became very inspired. Oh, I'm sitting so high. I'm having fruits in my room. I have everything, a place to sleep. Wonderful. And he began to look out again. It's an analogy. The mind is in a room on the top of the tower, like that imprisoned monkey, and it sometimes runs around, throws itself against the walls, is very miserable, and after some time it expands and feels wideness and becomes very happy. But both are illusions. In chanting, our monkey mind can be very active. It can run around in our head and make life hellish for us. And then again, it can become peaceful. Chanting, however, when you do it properly, frees the monkey mind out of that little constrained room so that it can walk into freedom and be together with Krishna and experience deep inner knowing chit on deep joy. That chanting therefore is said to free the mind from unwanted occupations. This is very encouraging. But the question which I would like to again ask is, how can we get the qualification to chant properly? How can we get this faith into something which is not possible for the material mind, that monkey mind, to understand? How can we develop the faith that Krishna is identical with the holy name? And here with faith, I don't mean a mental concept. I mean deeply real, a deep insight, deep realization that can nourish me, that can empower me, that can make me see beyond the mist and beyond the clouds and enter into the presence of the Divine Son, the Holy Name. How can we do this? In the Harinam Chintamani, there is an explanation that tells us that these understandings of they are known. Sorry, I'm looking for the. Yes, I found it. The Harinam Chintamani explains to us that this understanding that Krishna and his name are identical is possible when we enter a relationship with Krishna. It's such a easy point. When you have a relationship with Krishna, then when you chant the holy name, you will immediately chant with feelings. You will immediately chant with a sense of being really connected. Even in the world, we have a shadow of this. When someone knows and has a relationship with his friend, his name alone will evoke a very deep sense of connectedness. I had experienced this when I heard about my very good friend Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who had caught the coronavirus when he left India and went to America. I have a very good relationship with him, and when I heard about him, I was really moved. And in my being moved, I saw scenes before my eyes when we were eating tomatoes and bread by the side of a field, we were traveling from one town to the other, where we had speaking and meditational engagements, you know, kirtan meditations we did. Whereas a person who did not know Bhakti Charu Maharaj was not reacting like that, because the relationship was not there. He was not moved. He was not seeing in his mind's eye any memories, because, yes, had never met him, had never heard him. So, therefore, when he eventually left his body by Krishna's desire, I was for a whole week not able to function very nicely. I filled the lakes around us with my tears so that they flooded. So much tears, because there was a relationship there. So I'm want you to understand from this example, when there is a relationship, then so many things are happening in the heart. When there is no relationship, nothing or not much is happening. This is the idea of chanting the holy name. When there is a relationship with Krishna, so much is happening just by remembering his name, chanting his names. When there is no relationship or very meager relationship, not much is happening. Though this gets now a special place of interest in the Harinam Chintamani. How can we enter into a relationship with Krishna so that we can, for instance, amongst other things, chant the holy names with deep absorption? And the answer is quite surprising. Haridas Thakur says the relationship with Krishna is established at the moment when you hear from a saintly devotee or a saintly person about Krishna and your own relationship with him, that you are his servant, that you are part of him. And as you hear from someone who has a relationship about Krishna, something happens in your heart. Something begins to resonate in your heart. Something begins to become awakened. Bhaktivinoda Thakur elsewhere gives the example, when I play on a sitar on the melody strings, all these resonance strings who are tuned properly will start to also resound. So when you meet a true saintly person, a true devotee of the Lord, when you sit in his or her kirtan, at that time, something begins to resound, or a resonance begins to happen in your heart, and you start to remember what you have forgotten. Therefore, in the Harinam Chintamani, the solution is given that we should chant in the presence of a saintly person. This can be done in two ways. You can have a physical closeness. You can sit in the kirtans of your spiritual master or another saintly person, or you can do that in your meditation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur interestingly gives us a meditation how we invoke the presence of a saintly person and chant in his presence. And I want to do this with all of you now. So those of you who have the beatback ready with the japa mala, it's good to just take it in your hand. Those who don't have a japa mala, no problem. Let's see. I'm giving you a little time to set yourself up. This happens to be one of my favorite meditations, so I think it will be very deep for all of us. If you are not already sitting at a comfortable place, a chair or on the floor, please find such a situation. Let us, for a moment, center ourselves, sit straight, breathe in a slow and lengthy way, I mean a good inhale, a good exhale. When you're ready, please close your eyes. As you breathe into your heart space. And as you breathe out, relax. Relax your body. As you breathe in and out, breathe in joy and breathe out relaxation. Between these two, your inhale and your exhale, your life is held and supported. Keep on breathing. Please know that in the Gita, Krishna alerts us. He says, I'm prana, I'm the life force in the breath. Now, before your inner eye, invite a saintly person to come before you. Let us do this with the spiritual master, our teacher, our guide, our inspiration and motivation. Let us give him a seat where he can take his seat. Let us offer him water for washing his feet. And water to drink. Asked him now for permission to start your chanting of the holy name and chant, being mindful of his presence. We will all chant together now. First we will chant in one voice, and then upon receiving a signal, we will chant in our own speed. Those who know the mantra, chant with me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shri Vashadi Gaubhakta Vinna. Now everyone please chant, being mindful of the presence of someone who has realized their relationship with Krishna, or at least more of their relationship. And in this way, let us become resonating strings. Let that what is sleeping in us, that which is dormant, arise, that we are really only parts of Krishna. He is all that we need, just like sparks who need to be joined with the fire in order to live, just like a fish who needs to swim in the ocean and not dry out on the land. We need to be with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let me just interrupt for a moment. See, when I invite my spiritual master, I usually invite such an image. Let me see, can you see it on the camera? I can go a little bit closer. You see, Srila Prabhupada is sitting there, absorbed in his chanting of the holy name. And I bring this or a similar image into my presence, my inner contemplation, my inner awareness. It's just an awareness sometimes that, and then I'm sitting next to him and feel very empowered in the chanting, very the clouds of ignorance and of anattas are removed. And then my relationship with Krishna is more. I'm a beginner on this path, but it is more than before. So let us continue like that. Let us now chant in our own velocity. Just one more time for you to see and relish. Yes. Hare, now start please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Rama Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. I feel greatly honored to share this confidential knowledge. A short summary of what we have heard today is appropriate. We heard about the only qualification to enter into the chanting. Whereas for other spiritual practices, various qualifications are required. Mind control, sense control, the proper place, the proper circumstances, the proper ritual, the proper execution. In chanting, there's only one qualification necessary, that is Shraddha. It's a deep quality of the heart. We have the English word faith for it, but it means more. Shra means heart and Dha means to give. To give our heart to the understanding that the holy name is identical with Krishna is the key. But it's not easy, as we have discussed, because there are mist and clouds before the sun. Or to put it in a more philosophical language, there are obstacles in our understandings, in our perceptions, so that it is not so easy. However, these obstacles can be removed if we chant, first of all, if we get into a contact with a true saintly person who through his instructions and wisdom can remove our ignorance about ourselves and the Lord, and who can also, through his example, help us and motivate us to give up the weaknesses of our own hearts, the attachments which we have there. And this, yeah, this thirst for things which won't satisfy us, the material energy. I thank you very much. We have done one thing today. We have chanted, tried to chant in the presence of an exalted soul, Srila Prabhupada. I want to open the forum now for your questions and will give my best to answer. Before I do this, I want to encourage you. I have already three questions here with before me. You can put your questions now into the chat box. While you do this, two short announcements. There are the more are coming. The Gora meditations are happening also on the 11th of September. We will enter into the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We will hear mostly about his pastimes and then meditate about them. It will be on the 11th of September, 7 p.m. Central European time on Facebook. Huh? 11th of September, 7 p.m. The next Heart of the Holy Name seminar will be given on the 27th of September on Facebook. Hmm? This is part 3. On the and another thing, I will also enter into or put on the Facebook this very, very nice sheet, two pages, entering deep japa, deep meditation. You can obtain it, the prayers, they are prayers to the japa mala, in the Deepening Bhakti group on Facebook. Huh? Deepening Bhakti group on Facebook is a large thing. On my particular Facebook, there you can find it. And also, to enliven your chanting, you may listen to the daily japa inspirations on SoundCloud. The links for these short 3 to 4 minutes japa inspirations can be found in the comment section, which I think you see it now. This is also very inspiring. Good. So many announcements, but sometimes we need. Okay, let's get to the questions. Maharaj, I feel I have lost taste in hearing about Krishna. What advice do you have? How can I get taste again? Yes, it is described that sometimes our taste in Krishna consciousness and in Krishna and hearing about him goes down. It's almost like when you get a fever, you don't have appetite any longer. So sometimes the fever of material illusions and attachments strikes a sadhaka, a person on the spiritual path, and then he or she will lose the attachment to spiritual life. There are two things you can do. One is the indirect path and the other is the direct path. The indirect path means make a study. Where do you do something wrong? Maybe you have committed aparadhas, offenses towards your practice, towards Vaishnavas, towards people in general, and as a result lost the taste. This is what we get when we do these spiritual misbehavior, you could call it, then we lose the taste. And if you can identify where you went off track, so to say, correct it. This is the indirect path. The direct path to get taste again is to give yourself more time to chant in quality. When you listen to these sessions and other sessions which are given on the holy name, You should see what practices that are suggested to you are striking something in you, are bringing about a resonance, and then you should do these little things. Maybe what you need when you lose your taste and hearing about Krishna is good devotee association. I know this is now not so easy as it used to be, but there is telephone. There is WhatsApp and everything. And try to speak with a devotee or a friend who has deep taste in spiritual life, and discuss your case with them. A lot of spiritual reformation can happen in such a way. And the other is, don't take your mind too serious. Just go on, even if there is some little distaste. Oh, just go on. It will come back again. Next question. Hare Krishna Maharaj, you spoke about the mist of ignorance and how we need to understand, not conceptually but factually, that we are different from the body, our mind and ego. Does this deep understanding come as a byproduct of our sadhana and service, which we may do even mechanically and without deep understanding? Or is it required and beneficial that we practice coming to this understanding, being different from our mind, ego and body? If yes, what practice would you suggest? My God, this is a very intellectually stimulating question. To really understand that you are different from the body, the mind and the ego, and come closer to an understanding of yourself. What to do? I do remember that once the leader of a self-realization school in Germany, it was Count von Durkheim, very good man. He has developed a famous self-realization school. It is mostly done through meditational processes in south of Germany. He came to visit Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada, how do you make your devotees understand that they are an eternal soul, different from the body and the mind? And listen to my own spiritual master's answer. They were taking a walk, they were walking together. Some disciples were also there. And I remember I was also just standing next to the Graf von Durkheim, that Duke. Prabhupada stopped. Boom, he was in the midst of the road. We just stopped. It was such an essential question that it needed the proper attention. And he said, see, I tell them what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. My spiritual master alluded to a text where Krishna gives his famous instructions. And I believe he had in particularly in mind the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, although he did not make it so explicit. But in the second chapter of the Gita, Krishna removes step by step Arjuna's ignorance about who he really is. And he gives his very powerful instructions on how we are the soul who simply moves from childhood to youth to old age and to death, and then takes on a new body, and gives this instruction. Now, Prabhupada also said, when you go into a difficult situation, read the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, because it gives you a deep understanding and with it some realization of who you are. So my recommendation to you is, yes, study the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and then don't just study, don't just read it, don't just compare commentaries to get a deeper understanding of what was said. No, practice it in daily life. The easiest practice for those who are on the path of Vaishnavism that makes you understand that you are different from the body and the mind is the practice of tolerance. Trinadapi sunichena taro iva sahishnuna. And the very famous instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said we should be more tolerant than even the tree. You know, the tree is standing out there in heavy weather, rain and snow and so on. It remains tolerant standing there. Spring will come again, summer will come again, no problem. So practice tolerance in your life, and in this way your body and your mind will not be indulged in so much, and after some time you notice, wow, it's so easy to tolerate, because I'm not the body and the mind. I'm not affected by the body and the mind. The practice of tolerance brings you very quickly to a disidentification with the body and the mind. Now, those of you who are here listening and who are liking to go even more deep in their spiritual practice, you can find in the Bhagavatam beautiful explanations of Lord Kapila Dev on Sankhya Yoga, where he explains how we are different from the elements and their elemental change, the material elements. And those who would like to go even more deep, I very much recommend to spiritual practices like fasting, getting up earlier, practicing austerities for your spiritual goal. That will calm and pacify the demands of the body and the mind eventually, and you will become very realized in the practical understanding of it. It's austerities which you do for attaining spiritual lives. Yes, there are deeper and deeper and deeper ways, but I will answer other questions as well, so this for now. For if you think there were many points in this answer and it is difficult to remember, just take one word: practice tolerance, and you will soon begin to understand how you're different from the body and the mind. The next question. I have noticed that when I focus on proper hearing of the Maha Mantra, that everything else develops from there. My desire to hear or serve increases. The eagerness to chant more, everything comes. Yet my mind is most of the time so occupied with various thoughts about the many projects, the tasks, the reflections, the to-do list, the ideas, that it becomes very hard to focus on hearing. What could be done in such situations? So, once again, I go a little fast now because more and more questions are coming in here. I want to give a summary of this question. Although you seem to know that if you focus on proper hearing, that everything else comes. It is very difficult when you are in a in your busy life where you have so many to-do lists, so many tasks, to remain focused on hearing. There is a direct access to the mind. Mind control is not so easy because the mind seems to be, here comes a difficult English word, elusive. It seems to run away. It seems you're not able to grab it with your head and just take it. It's too subtle. How can you get a hold on the mind? All the Vedic scriptures and the yoga scriptures are in one mind. It's through breath. Srila Prabhupada writes about this briefly in the third canto, that by breathing the mind can become calm and peaceful. Don't we all know this? When we are very agitated, someone might say to us, why don't you go to the window and take a few deep breaths and your mind will calm down. Breath is the one thing, is one of two ways to get control of the mind. One of two ways. I recommend a second path in my retreats. It's mantra. Mantra means it delivers the mind from this unwanted occupation. Now, it may be difficult for you, as you have properly written, to concentrate on the entire mantra. But there is a very easy and simple process. Try to concentrate on one name in the mantra. Why not the first Hari? Like when you chant, I will do it for you now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Now, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Then, when the next first Hare comes, the beginning of the next mantra, bring all your attention for about 10 times, 10 mantras, to the first Hare, and you will see your mind gets calm. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, all my focus, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. I think you get the idea. Do this for about 10, or let us, if you're very restless, 15 times, and your mind gets glued to the mantra. Hare Krishna, yes, please accept my obeisances. Thank you for a wonderful class. I have started chanting 16 rounds 2 months ago, but now when I reached this goal, I noticed my chanting is lacking quality. If I listen to some frequencies or instrumental meditation music, it helps me to enter into more profound states. Is that appropriate? I hear one shouldn't listen to anything while chanting. Wonderful question. Yes. By the way, you're not alone. Many are so eager to reach the minimum of recommended rounds, 16, that they really, in the process of trying to somehow get it, get there, compromise on the quality. You are asking, does instrumental meditation music or frequency, is this good? I would say, for the beginning, if it helps, why don't you use it until you are peaceful, and then you can go on without it. It's a, let us say, a type of material help, so to say, and yeah, if it helps, why not? But be careful that you are not in the instrumental music as you listen are not at all paying attention or minimal attention to the chanting of the holy name. I would say do it for the beginning, but there are other things you might try. First of all is divide your day properly. That easiest is to go early to bed and rise in the morning and just have the time there set aside where you really don't need to do anything else. It's your japa time, your time with Krishna. If it's too difficult to do it in one sitting, you can divide it, the rounds, into and do them into time pockets that you have allocated for that purpose, where there is nothing else going on. That is what I sometimes do. Today, for instance, I have chanted 10 rounds, and I know that up till now, and I know that today is a very busy day for me, but I have set aside the time in the noon time where I really have nothing else to do than chanting. So most of the time we get so much unqualified rounds, you know, when we are not having set aside the proper time windows for this. And another help which you might like to take is we have published a book called Chanting with Absorption. Written for the purpose to help chanters to bring quality to their rounds. And I've heard from many people who have tried the exercises which are supplied in there, that it has helped them significantly. You may try also. The book's name is called The Living Name. Yes, The Living Name. You will get there. Don't worry. Just keep on giving your best, and then Krishna, who's listening to you, will give your chanting more and more substance as you do it. Another is it okay if we chant with listening to a kirtan in the background? Again, I want to give a similar answer as I have given to the previous questions. Yes, it is okay. I just read something in a book by His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj. The book is called Chant More and has many different articles which are very helpful. And he spoke about the practice which many devotees have, that is to listen to a tape of Srila Prabhupada chanting in the background. You know, we do this to chant in the presence of a saintly person, like we have explained today. No? And it's a good practice. However, it's not good if you put the volume of Srila Prabhupada's chanting so loud that it covers the volume of your own chanting, because after all, the chanting of japa is definitely done as an individual offering towards Krishna. You follow? You have to chant. Prabhupada chanting is wonderful, but Prabhupada can't chant for you. He tells you, you must chant. No? And in this way, you have to make sure that your chanting is audible and not covered by the chanting, even of a great soul, like Srila Prabhupada. It's your devotional service for Krishna. It's between you and Krishna. Oh, this was very impolite. I'm sorry. Sorry. What to do? So this is on the helping methods. Whatever helps, let us do that. But let us keep always in mind that the chanting is something I have to do to address Krishna, either in japa or in kirtan. That is, and that nothing should come into this relationship, into this, so to say, connection, into this effort to establish a divine bond. That, I think, is a good conclusion on these types of questions. Good. We have reached the end of this session. I'm very happy to be with you once again. This session, the next one of this, the Heart of the Holy Name, this program is on the 27th of September on Facebook at 10 o'clock. I thank you very, very much. Wish you all the best. And next time we will sing a little bit more, we will sing in kirtan together. That's very dear to my heart, that we sing with Gokrishna more in kirtan.